Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Thank you for coming. Called the Bhakti, the heart of Bhagavad Gita.
What we'll go over for the next few days is the middle six chapters of Bhagavad Gita. But first we'll take the attendance. Chaitanya Haridas. Dhruva, Kendra, Haridevdas. Muniraj is not here. Ramaniya. Yeah. Rupanuga Das. Rupanuga. The other two Madhavis aren't here. Let's see. What was your name for?
I
find the Lovely. What do you have there, Griffin? What do you got there? Oh, okay. You can just leave it there. Okay, then you don't have to worry about it now. We're going to use it again. No, we go later on. There's two sessions. We'll probably go to around, since the class goes till 7, we'll probably go to around 4:15 and break for a few minutes and then come back. Just leave that there. Leave it there. Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada explained, is the only book we really need to become Krishna conscious. Out of the six opulences of Krishna, one of the opulences he has is knowledge. And knowledge is the most direct way we can perceive Krishna. We may not be able to see how beautiful Krishna is, or how wealthy he is, or how strong he is, or how renounced he is, but we can directly perceive Krishna, his opulence, through knowledge. The Bhagavad Gita is the most direct way we can relate to Krishna and experience his opulence of knowledge. And especially Bhagavad Gita is spoken directly by Krishna, so it's the most direct relationship we can have with Krishna in the material world, practically speaking. And out of all the different chapters in the Bhagavad Gita, the middle six chapters are considered to be the essence of the Bhagavad Gita. And out of the essence of the Bhagavad Gita, the essence of all verses in Bhagavad Gita is 9:34, which is repeated twice. It's also in 1865. Manmana bhava madbhagyo maya jimam namaskru mame vaitasi yuktaivam atmana matvarayanaha. Engage mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee, offer your obeisances to me, and worship me, completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. What I'm going to try and do in this particular course is rather than, as usually, to go over the summary of the Bhagavad Gita, or the middle six chapters of the whole Bhagavad Gita, the summary of the Bhagavad Gita, is I'm just going to try to go over some of the verses, try to see how it all flows together, because Bhagavad Gita is not spoken in the way that it's written in the Bhagavad Gita. It's not that Krishna has finished the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita and said, "My dear Arjuna, now we'll begin the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita." Bhagavad Gita is a flow of knowledge from one chapter to the next. And therefore, the middle six chapters are also a flow of thought It's not that we have knowledge of the Absolute, attaining the supreme, confidential, the most confidential knowledge, the opulence of the Absolute, the universal form, and pure devotional service. It is one flow of ideas. And practically speaking, Krishna consciousness is what's called simplicity. Without Krishna consciousness, there's no question of simplicity, because Krishna consciousness is, it means to make things simple. Guru Prabhupada said Maya means to say, make something very simple very difficult. That's Maya. The Krishna consciousness means to make things that seem to be difficult to try and make them simpler. Therefore, in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, in the second verse, Krishna says, 7:2, Jnanam deham sadhi jnanam idam vaksham yasheshataha yajyatva neha punyonyas ketavyam avashishate. Now I declare to you, Arjuna, all knowledge, both phenomenal and nominal, by knowing which there will remain nothing further to be known. And the next just few verses, Krishna summarizes everything. In other words, if we just understand those few verses, we understand everything. But of course, Krishna doesn't stop, because obviously Arjuna didn't look like he understood everything after Krishna spoke those few verses. So Krishna fluffed it out, he elaborated on those few verses. Matter of fact, the whole Bhagavad Gita is just an elaboration of a few verses. Practically speaking, it's an elaboration on 9:34 and 18:65. Now I'll just go over the verses, and I'll stop different verses and try to show how they're connected and just explain different things, maybe put a few things on the board here. The first verse in the 7:1, Maya Saktamanat Parta Yoga Myunja Manashaya Asamashayam Samagramam Yatagyasasi Tachinu. Now hear from me, O Son of Pritha, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness to me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. This is a verse 7:1. This is a verse that Śrīla Prabhupāda spoke on more than any other verse in the Bhagavad Gita. There are at least 30 recorded lectures of Prabhupada on 7:1. Obviously he thought it was important. And everything is right there in 7:1. One can go on and speak 100 lectures and not even begin to touch the topic. Because Krishna begins with this tachinu, hear from me. The hearing is the basic principle of becoming Krishna conscious. Sometimes we hear that Atakshi Krishna Namadi Nabraved Grayam Indriyai Sevam Ukehi Jivado Swayam Avas Bharatida. The devotional service begins with the tongue. That is chanting Hare Krishna and tasting Krishna Prasada. But actually we also hear the devotional service begins with hearing. Adal Shada Tata Sada Sangha. In the association of devotees, we hear about Krishna. And then hearing about Krishna, we're inspired to engage in devotional service, which begins with the tongue. Because we're advised, after we've heard about Krishna, to chant about Krishna. And in other words, to render service. To follow whatever we've heard, whatever we've understood, we're advised to follow. So that's called chanting. We don't have to narrow the idea of chanting down to some small little idea of chanting. But chanting also means to perform activities, to glorify Krishna by following what he had to say. Become the servant, that's also chanting. And then the result is, jnana vigyana. Then we remember Krishna. At the state of asakti, because the first verse said, Mayi asakta. So asakti is the stage of devotional service which comes after ruchi. Very advanced stage right before bhava. At that particular stage, one cannot forget Krishna. Even if for a second the mind wanders away from Krishna, it immediately comes back to Krishna. Just like for ourselves, if somehow or another we remember Krishna, immediately the mind wanders away from Krishna. in contrast. But at the state of asati, even for a moment, one forgets Krishna, immediately the mind comes back. We wonder how that can be done. It seems quite amazing. But it comes naturally, because it comes after ruchi. At the state of ruchi, when one chants Hare Krishna, one feels pleasure. What that pleasure is, we may not be so familiar with, but it's called transcendental pleasure. It's a pleasure that enlivens all the senses with flavor, with taste. Not only the tanmatras, gross and subtle material senses, but also the mind and the intelligence. Everything becomes enlivened, spiritualized by association with Krishna. And when it becomes intense enough, one can't give it up. That's like when if you want to go to a temple and you want to find out how many devotees are in the temple, you just have to wait for prasadam. That's when everyone comes. You may see a few devotees during the kirtan, more than you see at Mangal Arati, maybe a few more or a few less during class. But if you really want to find out how many devotees are there, you just have to wait around for prasadam. Especially the Sunday feast, even people that you don't normally see for prasadam, if they have a nice feast, then you see them on Sunday. Because there is some taste. And we're trying to find taste. Rasa. The materialist is also trying to find taste. And we're trying to find taste too. Everyone's trying to find taste. Can I get some water? So mayi asate. So asate means the taste is so intense that one can't give it up. One, the mind is craving after that taste. It's addicted to it. And how is that taste obtained? First begins with tat shrinu. We have to hear about Krishna. And what is the hearing about Krishna? Then Krishna says, maya satya manat parada yogam yunja. So we have to practice yoga. The whole idea of hearing is that we want to find out what is the technique of practicing yoga. Therefore, in the beginning, rather than stress too much about Krishna's form or pastimes, first thing to stress is the name. How to chant the name. Because if we can chant the name, then there's no question of remembering his form. Since it goes hearing, chanting, and then remembering, if we can't go past the name, then there's no question of the form. And if we don't remember Krishna's form, what's the question of remembering anyone else's real form? Or his associates? If we don't understand Krishna, how will we understand who his associates are? And if we don't understand his associates and his qualities, then how will we understand what his activities are? Therefore, in the beginning, it's much more important to hear about the name of Krishna, not only the name of Krishna, but the name of everything. Because as it says in the Bhagavatam, this is a world of names. The whole problem is that we're putting names on things that don't really exist. Everywhere we look, we put names on things. And we imagine that these names we put on are real. We don't even realize it, that we're putting names on people. Or on things. And we're conceiving of them in the wrong way. So this is a world of duality. And the duality is basically good and bad. That this is good and this is bad. Or attachment and aversion, desire and hate. So basically we're putting names on things according to our desire to either enjoy them or destroy them. Krishna has already explained in the Bhagavad Gita that basically speaking, we're here. In the fifth chapter, he says, Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka himaheshwaram suridam sarvabhutanam gyatamam shantimrishati. That basically speaking, there are only three levels of consciousness in the material world. as we've met in the third chapter, the three modes, that there are three modes, and the first mode, ignorance, means that, basically speaking, we're trying to enjoy. That's called sense gratification. That's the basic consciousness in modern society, that everyone wants to enjoy in someone. That's called the shudras. Those who enjoy in a regulated way, they're called the shudras. Those who enjoy in an irregulated way, they're on the animal level. And in order to enjoy, therefore people are engaged in what's called economic development, to get money to enjoy. Of course, people don't know what enjoyment is in the modern world, because they've labeled things as enjoyable, which are actually useless. That's called advertisement. They put names on things as good, which are actually just useless. Because real material enjoyment is clean air, fresh water, nice food, nice relationships, peaceful mind. That's material enjoyment. The other is suffering. But because they put the label of good or enjoyable on things that are suffering, that cause suffering, therefore people are, that's called mudhas. Instead of shudras, people are mudhas. Asses, or Prahlad Maharaj said, vimudhas. They're super asses. Because an ordinary ass, people put load on their back. They have to carry it just to get some grass. But people, they have a load on their back and they want a bigger load. They're not satisfied with the load they have already. They want a bigger load, and then they think the grass will taste sweeter. So they, instead of getting a little house and living in there peacefully, they get a huge house. They burn themselves, and they think that way everything will taste sweeter in the bigger house. But actually they just have to go through more endeavor just to eat or sleep or mate or defend. And the result is, for all their endeavor, they can't even properly eat. They don't even know how to eat anymore. People don't even know what food is. They don't know how, they can't even sleep. And as far as relationships like sex life, relationships between men and women, they're all bewildered. Now, men don't like women anymore and women don't like men. They like each other. Or they like cats or dogs or, you know, whatever, dead bodies, anything possible. Because they don't even know sex life anymore. Although there's so much information on the internet, but it's not that people have learned anything. And as far as defending goes, people don't even know that, you know, what to defend, what's actually good and what to defend themselves from. They don't realize they're being attacked all the time by advertisements. They're being attacked all the time by these television, the movies, the radio, the mass media, the modern education, the museums. Practically their consciousness is being attacked, and they're being misled. Andaya Tandera Pagyamana Tepisha Tantra Kuru Dami Bada. Their leaders are blind. They're miserable themselves. Just like, imagine you had $1 billion. So, as Trivikram Maharaj was speaking to Srila Prabhupada when they were at John Lennon's estate in the early 70s, Trivikram Maharaj mentioned to Srila Prabhupada how fortunate John Lennon was, because he had so many millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars. So Prabhupada said, what is the value of his money? He doesn't even know how to spend it. So if you had billions of dollars, but you don't even know what to eat, then what is the value? The devotees are actually, even if they have no money, they're actually wealthier. At least they know what to eat. Of course, they don't know how much to eat. But at least they know what to eat. So this is all just names. Actually, this is just the world, because we've misunderstood what names are. Therefore, we don't know what to tend, what to glorify. And therefore, we don't know what really is valuable to remember. Most of our problems is due to indigestion, because we have the wrong labels for things, and we can't figure out how they fit in or where they fit in. And we get mental indigestion. We keep on thinking about the same wrong thing over and over again. We can't digest it. It causes us anxiety in the form of attachment and hatred. So we're so-called in love with something and feel dissatisfied, and then we become averse to it and we become dissatisfied because we don't know what it really is or how to utilize it. So Krishna says, Maya asakta manah parata, so fix your mind upon me. In other words, when we see things in relation to Krishna, then we give up this idea that I am the enjoyer, or that I am the controller, or that I am the friend. Well, especially when we become devotees, we try to give up the idea that we're the enjoyer, or that we're the only enjoyer, or that we're the only controller. But sometimes we forget that we're actually not the friend of everyone, that we're not the doer, that Krishna is the real friend of everyone, that when we're doing something, devotional service, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement, that we should see ourselves as an instrument. That way we won't become attached to taking the credit. Oh, I spoke so nicely, and I did so many books, or I made so many devotees. Actually, we're not the doer, we're the observer. We're simply trying not to get into the way, in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's way. He's the actual friend of everyone. And if we don't get in the way, then he can deliver people through us. Of course, he's going to deliver them anyhow. Even none of us here, if we do anything, it's not that the Sankirtan movement will stop. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will have to pack his bags and go back to Goloka. No one will go with him. No, nimitra matram bhavasavasacha, and just become an instrument. Therefore, if we hear these things, then we fix our mind upon Krishna through the process of devotion. In other words, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna, they're giving us an opportunity to utilize his energies and his service rather than utilize his energies in the service of the illusionary energy. That we have a choice. We can desire that Krishna's energies be utilized for Maya, or we can desire that they be utilized for Krishna. So that's called Yogam Yunjan Mad Ashaya, by taking shelter of Krishna and his instructions by the process of hearing. We hear elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, we'll ask, does anyone know any other verses in Bhagavad Gita about hearing? Yes, Ekendra. 2:7. Now I'm confused about my duty and I've lost all my composure due to weakness. In this condition I'm asking you to tell me clearly what is best for me. I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Kindly instruct me. That's pretty good. What else? Translation? Okay. What else? What number of verse is that? Sharavan Anusiyasha. Sharavan Anusiyasha. Shini Yarapiyo Mra. Sopi Mukta Sivalokan. Pratmivat Punyakarma. That one who listens with faith and without envy attains to the planets with a pious dwell. And Anye Klevam Ajananta.
śrutyāṅgye vyākupāsate tepi chātitrāṅgyeva mṛtyum śruti parāyana.
This is 13:26. Again, there are those who are not conversant with spiritual knowledge. After hearing from authorities, they begin the process of devotional service. Because there are tendency to hear from authorities, they can also transcend the path of birth and death. Any other verses? There's a lot at the end about hearing. Yes. Then he says, Kachere tat sutam partha, payai ka grena chetasa, kachet agana samoha, prana tas te dhanandaya. Have you heard this with your mind at perfect attention, and is your illusion now dispelled? And have you gained kachit etat sutam partat vayai ka grena chetasa kachit agana, your ignorance and illusion now dispelled? So the result of hearing with attention is that two things should happen. Our avidya, or our ignorance, should be dispelled, and our illusion should be dispelled. So what is that ignorance and illusion? Yeah, basically speaking, very simple. So Krishna will explain everything, so I'll just go through it. He says, I'll explain everything. So he says, Manushanam sahasreshu kaschid yadadi siraye kaschid yadadam siranam kaschimam veti tatvadaha.
So more or less there's different levels.
So most people are materialists. And there's a few transcendentalists. And there are a few devotees. Less devotees. So in the seventh chapter, Krishna, just to give a summary, Krishna will explain about his external energy, his spiritual energy, and himself. And he'll explain about all the variety of the persons who fit into the material category. We'll summarize them. He'll talk a little bit about some transcendentalists. And then he'll talk about the devotees, different varieties of devotees. In the eighth chapter, he'll deal with some of the things he touched on about the materialists, something about the transcendentalists, who's desiring to get liberation. Then he ends with the devotee. And the ninth chapter, he deals exclusively, practically speaking, with the devotees. He doesn't go into it. And then in the tenth chapter, he deals with himself. The 11th chapter, he deals with himself. And the 12th chapter, he deals with his devotees. So it's a progression. First, he introduces about, he's going to explain everything. Practically speaking, everyone is on the path of devotional service. Either they're going up from the path or down from the path. So they're going to fit into one of these categories. Now, as Krishna explains, he has earth, bhumi rapalo vayu kamano buddha evacha ahankara iti amedi inaprakati ashtida. So these gross and subtle energies that the living entities can play with. As materialists, or even transcendentalists, they can play with these different energies. But Ekanyanani Bhutani Sarvadisipadarya Aham Krishnasa Jagata Prabhava Salaya Sudha. Of all that is material, and all besides this inferior energy, Arjuna, there's another superior energy, the spirit soul, who is trying to lord it over material nature. In other words, it's playing with these material energies, sometimes remembering Krishna, sometimes forgetting him. And Aprayamitas chanyam prakti vidhi metram jiva bhuta mahabhao ye dandari te vigat.
then Ekadyasi, Bhutani. Besides these two energies, there's Krishna. So we've heard that before, and Krishna just summarizing that is reality. That above the energies, and the energies are just coming from Krishna, that's all there is, that's reality. There's nothing really beyond it. But because we've given things names under the modes of material nature, therefore we're imagining there's something other than Krishna, or something other to do than devotional service to Krishna. So this is called illusion. At the end of Bhagavad Gita, after hearing Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna's illusion, ignorance, was dispelled. He understood properly how things were situated, and his illusion was dissipated. Now, in devotional service, there are six qualities to pure devotional service. Qualities of pure devotional service, the Sanskrit is Subhaja. So it brings on all auspiciousness. And Kleshasni. Frees one from all distress. So that's what everyone wants. We want to be happy, subhada, and we want to free ourselves from distress. This is at the stage of sadhana bhakti. And stage of bhava bhakti. What are the two qualities? What's that? Sudurlava. Sudurlava. And moksha labha kriti. Sudurlava kriti. These are actually related. We'll show how they're related. And then at the stage of prema, Sandra, Ananda, Sandra, Ananda, V, K, Na, Na, and Krishna Parashima. Krishna Akar. Krishna Akar. Krishna, yeah, it's a long age. Basically speaking, they're just different intensifications of the same thing. More intense it is. Just like, for instance, at Subhaja, this means all auspicious. So what makes something auspicious? There are four things that make things auspicious. Those are the same bhakti shakti.
Happiness that surpasses sense gratification.
Yes, the happiness.
And the ability to track others.
Quality.
Beneficial.
It's beneficial. Benefits everyone. What's that? They just learned four. beneficial for everyone. And Kleshagni, what are the different qualities of Kleshagni?
It's the way all misery.
Yeah. So misery is caused by avidya, avidya, which manifests itself as papam, bija, actually it goes avidya, to bija, to papam, to akara, da, karma, which manifests itself as kuta, and then back to bija. And also here we have corrupted karma, manifested reaction. In other words, here, living entity is looking for happiness, good qualities, everything auspicious. And here, Sudurlava is rarely achieved. Why is it rarely achieved? Because people remain attached usually to their miseries. And even if they get free from these material miseries, they remain attached to moksha, to liberation. So therefore Krishna doesn't bestow his full mercy on such persons. Therefore it's very rarely achieved because one has to give up everything material. And moksha lava krit, those who are in Krishna consciousness, they derive even the concept of liberation because the happiness is so great that it even surpasses the happiness of liberation. And here at Sundarananda Vishatma, the happiness is so great of directly coming in contact with Krishna and prema that one can't even perceive material existence anymore. There is no material existence. There's only spiritual existence. And Krishna Karshini, here one becomes attached to Krishna to such a great extent, one's prema is so great for Krishna that even Krishna becomes attracted to the devotee. So these are just different intensities of the same basic thing. That everyone has some attraction, everyone's attracted to something. That's called, we're getting back to the really basic, known as Shraddha. Sad means the heart, and Da means where we give our heart to. So wherever we give our heart to, that's what we develop experience in. Whatever we love, we want to experience. And whatever we experience, that's what we get our, that's what we know, that's what we experience. Is that clear? In other words, Shraddha means sad, the heart, and Da means wherever we put our heart. Just like we hear about Bhagavad Gita. Because we have some faith that if I hear about Bhagavad Gita, if I put my mind, my heart, by love in the Bhagavad Gita, I'll get a favorable experience. Similarly, people go to the movies because they think if I give my heart to the hero or the heroine or the villain, whoever we want to give our heart to, then I'll get some taste, something favorable. Therefore, our faith means that we've in the past, you know, we went to Lord of the Rings 1 or 2, and we said, let me go to Lord of the Rings 3. Because we got some taste out of it. Similarly, if we chant Hare Krishna, we get some taste, then we think, well, let me chant some more. We gave our heart to Krishna, and we got some happiness from doing it, then we want to give our heart more. And if we don't give our heart to Krishna, and we chant Hare Krishna, then the result is we don't really want to do it, we just have to do it as a matter of duty. Because our experience, our faith is not so great. But we must have had some experience, some faith that keeps us going. So faith is the beginning. That's based upon real experience. Whatever we have faith in, we want to experience. Therefore, the materialists, which Krishna will explain about, they have faith in different aspects of matter, gross or subtle. And the devotees, even the mixed devotees, they have some faith in Krishna, but they also have faith in matter. It's mixed. Therefore, at the beginning, we have experienced Klesha Agni and Subhada. Then our faith will develop. If we don't experience on that level, where there is any question of experiencing Moksha Lagu Krit, the riding liberation, or Sudurlava, that is very rarely achieved, but to speak of Sundara Ananda Vishayat Atma, or something like Krishna Karshini. Do you have a question? After all, why would the mind wander for a moment? To that extent. Until one gradually reaches the state of bhava, and then material thoughts are just like a shadow, a dream. They don't even seem real. They're not even taken as real. But they appear a little bit sometimes. But they're not taken seriously. And at the state of prema, there's no question of anything material anymore. Everything is spiritual. Now, Krishna has said that everything is his energy. Everything has come from him, he's the supreme, and that's all knowledge. Now he'll expand upon it a little bit. We've just gotten through 3, 4, 5, 6. Now 7, Rasoham Asnu Kondiya, Pravasi Shasri Suryo, Pravava Sarvase Vedeshu, Shabike Purusham Rishu. Now Krishna will start saying that I'm the case in the water. So now he's going over the elements. He said he was water. When we say water, just remind everyone if you don't already know, we're not talking about just water that's in this, you know, bile, whatever the name of the water is. But water means anything liquid is water. Prabhupada said that if the drunk drinks his wine and thinks that this wine, the taste of it is Krishna, then one day he'll become a great devotee of Krishna by remembering Krishna. We don't recommend that path though. But for those who are already on the path, we can tell them that the taste of the wine is Krishna. And fire doesn't mean just ordinary fire that you build. But even these lights are considered fire. Anything that's effulgent is fire. Anything that's airy, anything that's moving, that has energy and moves, that's considered to be air. And solid things are considered to be earth. And then there's ether, which holds the different gross elements together. Or within itself is considered ether. Therefore, there's nothing but earth, water, fire, and air and ether. Krishna says, well, I'm the taste in water and the light. He talks about effulgence or fire or light. And he says, I'm the light and the sun and the moon, one cool and one hot. Sun is hot, moon is cool. So he goes over his different energies, that these are all mine, they come from me. It's not that anyone can say they're not experiencing God, because there's nothing but God. Everything is God's energy. Due to our attachment and our aversion to God's energy, we experience it as something other than divine, but there's nothing but divine energy that we're experiencing in our own perverted way. Due to avidya, because we're covered by our attachment or aversion, we're covered by avidya or ignorance, and therefore we don't perceive it properly. And then he says, Rasaham asnu kundiya pravati shasi suryo pranavas saravedeshu shabdike purusham nishu. He's light, he's water, he's sound, he's the ability, expertise, and man. And then the next one is, Punyo Gandam Pativam Cha Tejas Chasmi Bhavasu. Jivanam Sarabhuteshu, Dispas Chasnitapas Vishu. Is that the next verse? Okay. So then he's not only, he's a smell on earth. Punyo Ganda Prativyam Cha Tejas. Tejas means power. Tejas Chasnitapas. Jivanam Sarabhuteshu, he's life, he's the soul. So now he's more or less, it's repeating. He already said that on the Aparayam Itaspanyam. Now he's saying again, I'm the soul, I'm the life, and all the living entities. And then Bijaman Sarabhutanam, Bidi Parta Sanatanam, Buddhi Buddhi Matam Chasmi, Tejas Tejas Matamaham. Then he's all, again he says that I'm intelligence, I'm the Bijam, I'm the seed of all existence. So he's just expanding a little bit more. And Balam Balavatam Shaham Kama Raga Vivarjitam Kama Virudo Bhuteshu Dhamma Nikaratarashiva. That he's even sex life, according to religious principles, he's the strength of the strong. In other words, everything is Krishna's energy. Either a combination or a permutation or the original energy, but everything is Krishna's energy. But All states of being, they have goodness, passion, or ignorance are manifested by my energy. I am in one sense everything, but I'm not under the control of the three modes. So now Krishna has explained that these energies are organized into three modes, and that he's above them. That everything is, all these gross and subtle energies are being created into different modes of nature through the desire to enjoy or destroy or appreciate Krishna's different energies. They're manifested in different modes. But Krishna's above the modes. So that's very hard for us to understand. How anyone could not be under the same modes that we're under. The same desires, the same motivations, the same conceptions. Krishna says these are completely above these. It has nothing to do with it. Sri Vira Gunamayara Bhavara, Sri Charamidam Jagat, Mohinam Navidanaji, Mam Ayyak Param Avyayam. He's inexhaustible, these three modes that everyone is deluded by. He's aloof from them and inexhaustible. He's not at all affected by them. Daiviyesha gunamayi, mamamayi dhiratya, mameva ye prapadyante, mayam e tam dhiratite. That we have a choice. Either we can take shelter of Krishna through the process of devotional service, therefore go also gradually beyond these modes of nature, or we can follow the ways of the modes of nature and become entangled in them. And there are so many varieties of entanglement, Krishna explained, including four different kinds of impure devotees who approach him, four kinds of miscreants, demigod worshippers, persons seeking after liberation. There are all different varieties of entanglement in the modes. Some trying to get out of the modes, some trying to enjoy the modes, but these are the modes that entangle everyone. But of course, Krishna recommends become a devotee. Namam diskritina muda prapadyante naradama maya aprita jnanam asram bhavamashitya. So these mudas
who work hard for enjoyment. So Bhaktivinoda Thakura, and Prabhupada also explained from the purport. So there's the mudha. They work hard, and people are proud of working hard nowadays. They think they deserve some extra special credit just for working like a dog, or a hog, or an ass. They should be appreciated. They should be given a gold watch when they retire, and a pension. So they're called mudha. Does it have an A for the mudha?
Yes.
It does.
And then it should be
an A.
No, no, that's all right. Yes, but that's right. So mudra means are in the mode of ignorance. So they're working hard, but they have no knowledge of anything, so to get sense gratification. Therefore, we can make a little thing here that, basically speaking, in the Vedic culture, we know there is different levels of consciousness. One is called Anamaya. Then there's Pranamaya. Maya means existence, by the way. Just to give a Maya. So the existence within the realm of Ana or foodstuff, existence within the realm of energy, Anamaya, Pranamaya, Yanamaya, sometimes known as Maya, Manamaya. Then there is Vijnana Maya and Ananda Maya. Everyone fits into one of these realms of consciousness. So, of course, it's clear that the mudha, he fits simply into the Anamaya. He just is happy to get something to eat, place to sleep, maybe some sex life, and it's warm. Or cool, whatever. Just like the Shudras, known as the, so we can fit the mudras in here. No sense of God consciousness, simply the Shudras, which Krishna calls the Arthas, Artha Arthi, those who are suffering. That's Orvidavajante Mam, Ganasikitin Arjuna, Artha Dignas Artha Arthi, Yamakabharatarshva. So also the Shudras, the difference is that one follows the Vedic culture, the Vedic injunctions, the other ones, they want to eat, sleep, make descent without any discipline whatsoever. Shudras accept some discipline, some direction. But still, basically speaking, there, if there's nice pizza and pasta and nice place to sleep, then they're contented. And Pranamaya, Krishna says, the Naradama. Naradama. No God consciousness, but they know how to manipulate and control nature. So these are the present day capitalists. Capitalists. So these are just the workers. More like the commuters. Well, the Pranamaya for the on this level is the Vaishyas. They're also known as the Arthas, economic development. These are the Artha, Arthi.
The workers are Artha Arthi?
No, the workers are, yeah, Artha Arthi, sufferers.
Arthur means
work, yeah, some value. So they have some sense of value, Arthur. They want to work for sense craft. They want to work, they're the ones who get the prana means energy. So they have the energy to get the thing together. So that someone can enjoy sense gratification. So they build all the, you know, the toys and video games and should just sit at home and play them. RT. Without the H. Suffer. They know how to accumulate. They know how to suffer. They utilize the things for sense gratification and suffering. And the Gyanamaya platform, they have some knowledge. This is the what's that? These generally are the Shaktis. Or in the realm of speculation, this is the Mandiskrikina Muda replies Maya Priti. So Gyanamaya basically means that they follow Vedic injunctions. They regulate their lives. They just don't follow their minds where it leads them. They have some discipline to the mental platform. So that's the job of the Kshatriyas, to make sure people are disciplined, according to Vedic literature. And those who are preach the opposite, just do your own thing. The real thing is to, the only real rule and regulation is whatever we make up. We make up our own. These are the Maya Prajnanas. And then the Vijnanamaya, the Brahmanas, they know the purpose of life is liberation. And here they know the purpose of life is Dharma. So Gyanamaya, Manamaya fits into Dharma. Or the Maya Prajnanas, they preach a Dharma. They don't know what real Dharma is. They think Dharma is a Dharma. And Dharma, real Dharma, is a Dharma. That's Maya Prajnanas. And the Brahmanas, they're interested in moksha, in liberation, getting out of the material energy completely. So pure devotional service really begins at the stage of Brahmana, Brahminical culture. That's according to Prabhupada Westberg, what human life begins at Brahminical stage. That's when one becomes an factual human being. That the culture of mercy, cleanliness, austerity, and truthfulness goes to Brahminical culture. Of course, the Kshatriyas, those who are real Kshatriyas, that they follow their culture, they put into practical action. They know what real Dharma is, and they try to manifest it. But they may not be so much interested in moksha. But the Brahmins are interested in moksha. So that level in our devotional service is what stage one comes to that level? Does anyone know? Out of the different stages of pure of devotional service, beginning with Adala, Shraddha, Tata, Sada, Sangha, Tyabhajana, Kriya, Anartanavrtisya, Tato, Nishta, yes, Nishta. Yes, Nishta is the Brahminical level. Yes.
And if someone
could master, also could
have
plenty of
energy, might
be
following the master.
To some degree. If he has all those qualities, he's not a Shudra. Sudra means that one is actually a Brahmana. They have those qualities. Therefore, externally, one may take part of the Sudra, but if one has those qualities, then one is actually Brahmana. Sama dhamma tapasocham, shanti arjama evacha, jnanam vijnanam astikyam, brahma karma svabhavacham. Those are the qualities by which the Brahmanas work. And of course, Anandamaya, that's the stage of the devotees, pure devotional service, beyond liberation. So devotional service, pure devotional service begins at Brahma-Bhuta stage, or Nishta. Then one experiences Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, and finally enters into the full realm of pure devotional service at Prema. And then one's actual devotional service begins. So Krishna says there's that junction, you can go either way. You can become a devotee, or you can go to, you know, become a non-devotee. You become a devotee, there's different levels of devotion, beginning with karma yoga, sakam karma yoga, or Gyanamishra Bhakti or pure devotional service. So the beginning, when one is a arata or an arati, desiring economic benefit or freedom from distress, that's sakam karma yoga. There's some material desire to fulfill. And then when we get free from those material desires and one wants liberation, jignasu and jnani. And when one gets free from those desires, he realizes that the real goal is Krishna, then one enters into the actual realm of devotional service. You can understand things properly. Brahma Bhuta, Prasanatma. Then he becomes joyful. There's nothing more to worry about. There's nothing to achieve here, because we can't really achieve anything. We can't really become anything other than what we are. And what we are is Krishna's servant. It's not that I'm a woman, that what I have to achieve here in the material world is become a man. It's useless, because we're not a woman, we're not a man. We're just in a man's body or a woman's body. I may be famous, but I'm not really famous, because I'm not the body. It's like a lot of people say, you know, it's good to see you. I say, well, you must have made a lot of advancement, because I can't see myself. Because we've yet to see who we really are. We don't know who we are. Therefore, all we're seeing, what we're seeing is this body and the bodily activities, but it's not really us. Therefore, we have nothing really to achieve here other than to find out who we are. Anything else is just an external achievement, frankly speaking. Yes? We're not decrying anything. Everything has its purpose. But there are things that are higher. Knowledge is not the goal. Knowledge is the means to get to the goal, which is love for Krishna. So even if we have everything in the right perspective, but we don't have Krishna consciousness, we haven't really got the right perspective. And if we have pure Krishna consciousness, then we've understood everything. Then we have full. Then we have real knowledge.
So that teaching of knowledge
part is
considered an artha.
An artha, no.
Or do you mean a lot of things?
Anartha is usually like jiva himsa, hurting other living entities. But if we want knowledge for the sake of knowledge, then it becomes an artha. Then it becomes within the realm of desiring liberation. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has accepted jnane priyasa udrapasanamanda eva, give up this endeavor for knowledge outside of Krishna consciousness. Just like we may say, oh, I know what this is, it's a pen. But actually, it's not a pen, it's Krishna's energy. So if I think I know what it is without knowing its relation to Krishna, that's called avidya or ignorance. So I may know everything about the pen, but if I don't know it belongs to Krishna, then I'm in Maya. Well, mercy was available to them, but they were not very anxious to take it, because they thought they knew something more than he did. When you think you know something, and it's wrong, it's ignorance, and it's very hard to get rid of it. Just like if you're sleeping, and someone tries to wake you up, but you're actually awake, then if you don't want to get up, then it's very hard to get up. But if you're actually sleeping and someone tries to wake you up, it's much easier. Therefore, Krishna says that there are these four kinds of people who approach him. Then he says that of all of them, the jnani is the best. Tesham jnani nityukta ekabhakti vishishate priyagi jnani yoyatam aham sachama mapriya. That they're all, Krishna says, out of all of them, the one who's most dear is the jnani. Because basically speaking, this jnani is not one who wants liberation. It wants one who knows that I should love Krishna. And all Krishna really wants, as we find out, is he wants love. That's all any of us really want. We want some love. Just like, for instance, if you go to when you're someone serving prasadam, they just take the spoon and go whack right on your plate. And they just kind of like pass you by. Then you look at it. Doesn't matter how nicely it was prepared, you lose your appetite. But if it's served very nicely, there's some love. It was prepared with love. It's served with love. You're in the mood. You're in a good mood. You have the proper loving attitude towards it, appreciation, then it's wonderful. And if you're angry and you're frustrated and it just whack and you just want to rah. So love, that's all we really want. Love is manifested in so many different ways, and in the absence of love, we call that unhappiness. The Prabhupada gave that example that one man was told that if you drink, you'll go to hell. He said, but my mother drinks. Well, she'll go to hell. Well, my father drinks too. Well, he'll go to hell too. Well, all my brothers and sisters, they all drink. Well, they'll all go to hell. Well, all my friends go to drink also. Well, they'll all go to hell. So then the person's thinking, oh, then hell will be heaven. Because all my friends and relatives will be there. So love is the basic thing. And the Gyani, because he loves, tries to love Krishna, therefore, Krishna says he's dear to me. Similarly, when we're chanting japa, the whole idea, sometimes we hear we should pay attention when we're chanting japa. So that's almost, and everyone struggles to pay attention, as if it's like a very hard thing to pay attention. It is. If you just try to pay attention to something you have no love for, then it's almost impossible. Just like, for instance, if I took a knife and I said, pay attention, I'm sticking it into your back. See, maybe you'll have to pay attention, but you try to forget it as quickly as you can. You may be forced to pay attention, but you want to forget about it. Or the dentist, more, you know, the dentist about to drill. See, the last thing you want to do is pay attention, because it doesn't, the more you pay attention, the more painful it is. So we can only want to pay attention to something or make an endeavor if it causes us pleasure. But we can't, nothing will cause us pleasure if we don't like it. So if our mood, when we're chanting, is displeasure, that, oh, I've got to pay attention. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's like it's going to be a really torturous 2 hours. You know, the only relief will be that I got done with it. Feels so good, done. Or as Prabhupada was chanting japa one time, and they finished his round, he put down the final bead, Harisaripur was there, and he threw his beads down and goes, I finished my beads, I can do any damn thing I want.
That was
the mantra. Yeah, of course. So the idea is that we should chant Hare Krishna, but we actually have to do it lovingly. It's not that if we chant Hare Krishna, then we're going to develop love by trying to just pay attention. Has anyone here ever developed any love for Krishna just by paying attention? Do you have that experience? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I remember in the early days, people used to hit the head against the wall. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna.
And then
So this is knowledge, and as we find out in Nectar of Devotion, it's knowledge and detachment, but it's won't actually produce love for Krishna. It makes the heart harder. So we chant Hare Krishna really tenderly. But actually, we chant Hare Krishna lovingly. I can't say happily. Because generally speaking, we're so attached to our suffering that we think it's artificial to be happy. We can't give up our suffering. We think, oh, if I just smile, everyone will look at me and think, oh, what's wrong with this devotee? They become a little loony. But if we try to chant lovingly, that automatically includes happiness. We try and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. So that's what Krishna appreciates. Not that Krishna is appreciating, oh, I'm suffering so much, Krishna. Aren't you happy? Aren't you getting... I'm suffering so much for you. Krishna, oh, I feel so blissful seeing you suffer. Now Krishna will be happy to see us happy. That's his happiness. And if we're happy, that means the only way to become happy is to give up our suffering, which is basically what keeps us in the material world. Our attachment to this material identification, our hankering and lamentations. But if we chant Hare Krishna lovingly, happily, however we want to define it, for freedom from anxiety, then the result is that Krishna is able to give us the intelligence, or is able to reciprocate with us, and we're able to understand what real happiness is. Just to chant Hare Krishna happily or lovingly, Krishna has to give us the intelligence how to do it. And then he'll give us more intelligence. Because that's what he says. Kesham Saritam Yukdana. For those who properly perform the process, then he gives us more and more knowledge how to do it more consistently, more enthusiastically, more lovingly. Yes?
What about the
children,
like
crying,
like a child?
Did you ever have a child?
I have a child.
Yeah. So when does it cry to you?
It's not.
Is it out of pain or out of love? Yeah, right now. That particular pain, that is actually out of love, was being emphasized there. Like a child calling for its mother, out of feeling separation, out of love. So the idea there is love, not the pain. The pain is due to the separation and love. So that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's no real pain. It's not material pain. If there's love for Krishna, then there's no material pain. But there's spiritual pain, that is separation. But that produces more happiness, more pleasure. So it should be like a child's poem, because it's a relation with Krishna. If we believe in Krishna, that he's a person, and that Srimati Radharani is a person, then it's a dialogue between our, when we're chanting, it's a dialogue between ourselves and Srimati Radharani and Krishna. It's not just, we're calling to them personally, to engage us in their loving service. So their loving service, that's all they're engaged in. Different exchanges of love. So then we're asking them to please engage me too. So that's only bliss, it's only pleasure. That's all they experience, is different varieties of loving pleasure. And in order to do that, they give us the energy that we're under, from the mode of ignorance, the mode of passion, to the mode of goodness. Actually, they change us to transcendental. It's not even goodness. They change us to the experience of transcendental energy, Padini Shakti, Chit Shakti, real spiritual knowledge and spiritual pleasure. So if we ask for it, they'll give it to us. And if we don't ask for it, we don't believe that they exist, and we believe that our real thing, that when we're chanting, we should be suffering like everyone else. Either we should be, you know, struggling to stay away, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, or we should really try and get our rounds done as quickly as possible. Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Day, 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 Hare Krishna. And we think, bliss. Or the mode of goodness. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Nothing to do with Krishna, but we're just happily listening to our own voice. my voice is so sweet, how nicely I'm singing. But we're not singing to Krishna. No, it's Krishna Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then the result is, we chant lovingly to Krishna, automatically we remember Krishna. The deities or a picture of Krishna or something we heard, something will be there, will be remembered. And how blissful Krishna is. He's just playing on his flute, he's surrounded by Srimati Radharani and the gopis, and they're all glancing lovingly and have these nice feasts, and there's no work, you know, there's dancing, and there's no, you know, you don't see Krishna with a watch, and he doesn't worry about the time. He's never late for prasadam. It's not that he comes back from, you know, from herding the cows, and they say, well, he came back a little late, it's all gone. There's no worries whatsoever. It's all blissful. No one's worried at all. Yes, by his pastimes, his name, form, quality, and that, they're all absolute. They're on the same level. That's our nature. These sound vibrations, that is our nature. This gross material energy, or even the subtle material energy, is just dead matter. It's not our nature. Yeah. Well, yeah, he has nothing. But he can't do it unless he's taught to do it lovingly. So it's not so hard. Is it hard? How many years do you have to be before you're an older devotee? We find that the older devotees can't understand it either. So what point does it begin? A lot of us may not be so new, actually. But we think it's more, actually it's simpler to chant happily than it is to chant miserably. It's not that I'm a new devotee, so I'm supposed to be miserable. I'm supposed to chant in a miserable state because I can't understand what love is. No, everyone knows what love is. Otherwise, when, you know, a 2-year-old girl or boy has a teddy bear and is, you know, caressing it, and, you know, he knows what love is. So what's the difficulty? Isn't that right? It's not that you think, oh, you know you're only 2 years old, you want to understand what a teddy bear is. So you just have to look at it. You can't, you know, embrace it. You can't put it to sleep, you know, because, no, they already know what love is. So if you can love a teddy bear when you're 2 years old, why can't you love Krishna when you're, you know, 25 years old? There's unlimited pleasure.
Yeah, but we're getting that it increases as you become purified. But there's no question.
Well, actually, it increases as we take to the process as it is.
As it is.
Yeah, as it really is.
Yeah.
In other words, we make it difficult. Therefore, we think we don't really follow the process. Yeah, we don't follow the process. Therefore, we don't become purified. Even sometimes, those who are so-called in a better position in devotional service, so-called older devotee, they think they're an older devotee, so they've understood everything. But they haven't understood how to be happy in Krishna consciousness sometimes. I remember one of our former leaders, he had many, many followers, and he asked me one day before he left, he started to take LSD to find happiness. He said, he thought he was in some kind of position that automatically the happiness would be there just because he had some position. So he's asking where the happiness is. So the happiness comes from trying to make Krishna happy by giving him our love. That's where the happiness comes. And when we think that there's some other way of becoming happy by getting followers or a nice position or whatever else we think is going to cause us happiness, rather than giving our love to Krishna, our service to Krishna, then the result is that we get bewildered. So purification comes from following the process. Then we become purified, and then we understand that we, if we want to become more purified, we follow the process better. Not that I become purified and then I start following the process. No, the process is, we follow the process and we become purified. Kevala Bhakta, Vasudeva Prayana, Agam Bhuvanti Kartnena, Niharam Iva Bhaskara. That by following devotional service, then automatically one becomes completely free from all sinful reactions, just like the sun. It was, as soon as the sun is there, then all the fog is dissipated. So we put Krishna in our lives in a loving and a positive way, then automatically everything is solved. Now Krishna will explain. We'll go, we have 5 minutes to explain the rest of the chapter. A little bit more than that. Actually, we'll take a break now for 10 minutes. Is that right? How many want to take a break? Okay, 5 minutes. So we'll be back at 6 o'clock. Desire, Krishna's in our heart, he understands, and he reciprocates with us. Sathaya Sharia Yusatha Surat Mirate, Lavate Chatta Tatanaman, Maya Ivadi Tanita. And then Anjavandi Bhavandesham, Tatavandhismayasam, Eva Devi Yajayandi, Madhvasa Yandi Mamati. So the demigods, they worship, they get fruits, but they're living in temporary. So the demigods, those who worship Krishna, they get permanent fruits. They go back to Krishna. Therefore, they're considered alpha natives, but they have less intelligence. Because they want to go to the heavenly planets. Why? Because they think there they'll get a more permanent abode and they'll be happier. But it's not eternal abode, it's just a temporary abode. And they also have some anxiety there. Limited and temperate. But if we go back to the spiritual world, it's unlimited. And it's forever. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So why not worship Krishna? Then Krishna says, there are another class of persons, avyaktam vyaktam apamam manyate mama buddhaya parambhavama janatam lagam anutama. They worship the unmanifested. So then Krishna says, they're abuddhaya. They have no intelligence. Because they want liberation from the material existence, but they don't realize that the type of liberation that they get is not actually going to make them permanently happy. Because they have no real intelligence. They think Krishna is assuming some form. They think that higher than Krishna's form is the impersonal Brahman. Therefore, they never really see Krishna's form. They can't experience Krishna as he really is. Even if he was right in front of them, because they don't want to see Krishna as he is, therefore they see him as a super soul, or they see him as a thunderbolt, or they see him as a fool. It's like when Krishna walked into the battle against the wrestlers, everyone there saw him differently. They saw him according to their own mentality. So the impersonalists, they think he's a dead stone. Therefore, Krishna says they have abuddhaya. They have no intelligence. The demigod worshippers also made us, they're less intelligent. But the impersonalists, they have no intelligence. Yes.
Isn't there a class of
say
that Krishna is the
nearest
object
Godhead,
but they still have no upside down. They say Brahman is taking form.
Yeah, that's impersonal.
Yeah. And they even worship Krishna,
they
have Krishna bring them to
Brahman. Yeah.
Then Krishna is
being
described as Krishna. Yeah. Or Krishna is also the perverted bhakti.
Yeah. That's called apara.
Naham prakasha sarvacha yogamaya samavrita mudoyam navidanadi lokayam ajam avyam.
I'm never manifested. To those, all these persons, Krishna has never manifested. That's what they see, it's just his illusory energy. Even they see his form, but it's actually what they see is their own imagination, what they think his form is. Each child, Deyaham Samadhidani, Vartanani, Charjana, Bhavishami, Bhutani, Mamsudani, Nakashma. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna says he knows everything, past, present, future, and he also knows everyone. But generally speaking, in this world, no one knows him. Because each child, Vaishas, Bhutana, Samohaina, Bharata, Sarabhutani, Samaham, Sargayan, Vipurandhava. Everyone wants to become Krishna. And they hate the fact that they can't do it. Therefore, they can't really understand things as they really are. Everyone, whether you're a demigod worshiper or an impersonalist or just an out-and-out materialist, everyone in their own way is trying to become the Lord of the material nature and enjoy it. They're trying to even take Krishna's place. Therefore, they don't know Krishna. They're just overcome by the duality, the desire and hate. Therefore, the process of devotional service is the process by which one can gradually get free from desire and hate. But if we directly connect with Krishna, if we have faith, then if I simply love Krishna, if I simply try to love Krishna, then automatically I get free from it all material conceptions. That I don't have to separately endeavor to try take the samprasa, getting free from desire and hate. I just have to serve Krishna and try to love him. Then everything will fall from that. But those who take to the process, yesham antikatam, after some time of being performing pious activities, then they gain free from sinful reactions, then they can take the devotional service with determination. Or if we just have faith in devotional service and take it with determination, then automatically we become free from both our pious and our sinful reactions. I probably explained that those who are too deceitful, those who are atheistic, those who are foolish, those who are sinful. Those who are the four classes of the mudhas, the Mayapri Dhyanas, the Asmara Bhavamashrityas, and the Naradamas, they can't take the devotional service. They won't even start with the basic principle of regulating their senses, following the Vedic injunctions, and then rising up to the platform of pious activity. And then after that, rising up to the platform of knowledge, or at least, what is the sequence given there? Rising up to the platform of devotion, of goodness, and coming to the platform of accepting devotional activities, rising up to the platform of knowledge, then rising up to the platform of meditating and training on Krishna. So that's the process. But if we take immediately the process of devotional service, chant Hare Krishna lovingly, try to do our service as Krishna would like us to do it, very nicely to please him, and the result is that we gain, Krishna reveals himself, we realize that everything is Krishna. That if we try to love Krishna and serve him, then everything naturally will come from that. We don't have to do anything else but that. Well, now if you think of Krishna that way and be happy associating with Krishna and his devotees. But what about the other persons who don't take it? So Krishna will give us one more classification of persons who don't directly take the devotional service, but they're interested in moksha. Dharam or anamokshaya, mama shri diyatandiye, hey brahma, as we do Krishna, madhyatma, karma, chakya. Those who are intelligent, so intelligent. He's already explained about the unintelligent. He's explained about the persons who have no intelligence. He's explained about the persons who have little intelligence. He explained about the devotees who are trying to get intelligent. But what about those who are already intelligent? Those who are already on the Brahman platform, they know they're not their body. They're endeavoring for liberation from old age, disease, and death. So what about them? So they take the devotional service too, to get free from these things. So now Krishna in the 8th chapter will explain about such persons. Because Krishna mentions Brahman, he mentions Adhyatma, he mentions about karma in that verse. And in the next verse he says, Adi Buddha Dhyayavamam Adi Gadnesi Yevidu Puyana Kali Chichamam Yevidu Yastakeka Sraha. Those who know me as the supreme governing principle of the material manifestation, as the one underlying all the demigods, as the one as the ultimate purpose of all sacrifices, to know and understand me even at the time of death. Now in the 8th chapter, Krishna explained about all these different words he's given. Because Arjuna asked in the 8th chapter to explain what the words are, these concepts. So Arjuna Bhakti, Kim Tat Brahma, Hidayatma, Kim Karma, Purushottama, Adi Bhutam, Kim Prabhatam, Adi Jagnit, Triyayudu, Adi Jagnit, Kacham Kodra, Dehi Sin Maru Sudana, Priyana Kai, Chitrayam, Chama, Kala, Priyana Kai, So Arjuna asks for a definition. What is Brahman? What is Adhyatma, or spirit, or the eternal? What is karma? Who is that? Who is the Adi Buddha, the Adi Jagna, Adi Daiva? Who is that Lord of sacrifice, and where does he live? The 8th chapter, Krishna quickly answers the first 7 questions. And then he spends the rest of the chapter answering the 8th chapter. The 8th question. How can one understand and know Krishna even at the time of death? So this is the most important question, practically speaking. Because everyone's about to die. And Krishna has already said in the 7th chapter, that the process is to fix the mind upon Krishna. In other words, know Krishna. So since we're about to die, we should know how to fix our mind upon Krishna at the time of death. And Krishna has already explained that there's a class of people trying to figure out how to get free from old age, disease, and death through the process of devotional service. Well, how do we do it? Krishna quickly answered the first seven questions by saying that Adibhuta Shuro Bhava Purushas Pradidaitam Adigna Mahevadra. No, I see one before. Adi Aksham Brahma Paramam Subhava Dhyatma Uchite Bhuta Bhava Bhavakara Visarga Parama Sangitaha. So he says that Adibhuta Shuro Bhava Adiyatma. What's the first word? Akshara. Akshara. So permanent. Indestructible. Akshara. Akshara. Akshara Brahma Paramam. So the indestructible eternal living entity is called Brahma. Akshara, Aksham Brahma Paramam, Subhava, Vyatma, Ujita, and his eternal nature is called the Self. So we're Brahman and we're eternal. We've heard that before. And the Akshara Brahma Paramam, Subhava, Vyatma, Ujita, Buddha, Bhava, Bhavakaro, and this material nature is known to be always changing. And actions producing material bodies is called karma. And that's a very elaborate discussion. How after leaving this body, if we go to the heavenly planets, we fall down again to the earth planet, then we first come in the form of rain. The soul drops down from the heavenly planets in the form of rain, which is eaten by a man in the form of salmon. And that way, them. And then it's injected into a woman and it comes out as a child, that's called karma. The body comes out as the process of karma. And Adibhuta Shuro Bhava Purushas Pradidayatam Adigadana Evatra Dehi Deha Kutam Bhava. That neutral nature is known to be endlessly mutable. Adibhuta Shuro Bhava Purushas Pradidayatam, and I am the Lord of Sacrifice situated in everyone's body. Anyone who understands, and the process of liberation is to know me at the time of death. What was the translation? And whoever thinks of me at the time of death taints me without any doubt. So that's the answer to the eighth question. Then Krishna spends the rest of the chapter how he can think of Krishna at the time of death. He says, Yam Yam Bhakti Smaran Bhava, Yajan Yajan Kalevara, Tam Tam Evai Kundiya, Tadatha Bhava Bhavita. Whatever you think of, you get that body. Whatever we think of at the time of leaving this body, we attain to that state in the next life. So this is repeated many times in the Bhagavad Gita. Yeah.
That final thought process then consists of the essence of our activity. But our mind is interrupted by this, our whole life becomes intelligent.
It's not that this body, for instance, it's not that we've got a uni body. You know, we thought of it, for instance, I thought I was sort of taking prasad. And therefore, in my next lifetime, I only eat prasad and I didn't do anything else. So, I know we may think of something at the time of death, but we think of many things actually at the time of death. And therefore, we get a lot of karma. And generally speaking, most people get a whole variety of things that are going to happen to them in the future because of what they're studying to have. So they remember practically everything they've done. So whatever you think of the death, it means that it's not that people only think of one thing. They think of many things in the time of death.
And therefore they get many, many things, many various varieties of future reactions. Isn't that right?
Yeah, especially
the body is a intensely
attached to something.
Well, then you sure that at least that is the principle vehicle. So the body is just a vehicle for giving us reactions for what we've already had.
Yeah, that's a problem. You're fixated on sexuality, you're fixated on monkey or something
like that. Well, just like in this lifetime, even as a human being, or even as a pigeon, there's a variety of experiences. It's not like a pigeon can only do one thing, it can do many things.
Yeah.
And then after becoming a pigeon, you become many things. So whatever we've done at the time of leaving the body, then we get the reaction. But if we see everything related to Krishna, then we go back to Krishna. So we may do many things, but if we see it all in relation to Krishna, then we go back to Krishna.
So it leaves the question
first. Oh, I'm talking about the ideal. But if we do many things, then we see them partially in relation to Krishna and partially not. So we may come back to the devotee.
At that level.
Yeah, where are we now? Bhagavad Gita was explaining in the sixth chapter, explaining about the unsuccessful yogi at the universe. He becomes a becoming purified and eventually attains the supreme goal. Now Krishna will expand upon it a little bit more fully. That Tasma Sarveshu Kaleshu, Vama Nusma Yugya Cha. I offer them an over here. Therefore, Arjuna, you should think of me in the form of Krishna, and therefore, at the same time, Karyam prescribed to be fighting. With my intelligence fixed on me, and everything engaged in me, you'll attain me without doubt. So, Krishna doesn't advise us to stop doing things. Matter of fact, we're not really doing anything. All we're doing is watching. Body world. And the body means the body and subtle mind. So the subtle mind is giving us suggestions of what to desire. So Krishna has advised us that we should think of him at the same time we should desire to serve him, utilize the body and mind in his service. And at the same time continue and think of him. In other words, dedicate our activities, whatever we're doing to him, and then we'll think of him. So he doesn't advise us to stop doing something, but if we do it for him, then we'll think of him. And that will automatically be meditation, better than any artificial meditator could possibly do. Abhyasa yoga yukena kesita nanyam karana paramam purusham divyam yati parjana chintaya. Therefore Arjuna, abhyasa, so by practice, what's the translation? Abhyasa yoga, by practicing this devotional service, abhyasa yoga yukena kesita nanyam karana, the divine has deviated from me, you're sure to obtain me. That's not good. Adhita yoga yukdena kekita nani gana paramam purusham divya, the supreme person, yati parta chintana, by the such meditation. Then he tells us how we should think of him. Kavim parana manusha sutaram anorjan samanusmaradiha savati dhatram chinti rupa aditya kavarna namasakarasta.
Jesus translates. One should meditate upon the supreme person as the one who does everything. As he is the oldest, who is the controller, who is smaller than the smallest, who is the maintainer of everything, who is beyond all material conception, who is inconceivable, and who is always a person. He is luminous like the sun, and he is transcendent beyond this material nature.
So here Krishna is not saying we should think of him with flute, or with peacock feather, or as with gopis, or anything. Just at the beginning, we should just have confidence that Krishna is actually in my heart. That we should understand as clearly as possible how this, I always have a relation to Krishna. It's not that I'm creating a relation to Krishna. Everyone has a relation with Krishna. We can't but have a relation with Krishna because he's the super soul. And he knows everything. Kavim, Brahma. He knows exactly what we're thinking, doing, etc. So if we just try to do something for him, he's very pleased. So then Param, Anushas, Sitaram, the small and smallest, bigger and biggest, etc. So we can think of Krishna in these ways. Others, Pran, Kali, Manasa, Chalena, Bhakrita, Yoga, Balena, Kaiva, Rivorma, De, Prana, Mabesha, Sanya, Sitam, Parma, Purusha, Mabaiti, Divya. Others, they try to take to the Sangha Yoga process. In this way, they try to fix the mind upon Krishna. Very difficult. Trying to fix the light there at the top of the head. Akshram. What's the next word after that? Akshram Brahma Parama. Akshram Brahma. Akshram Veda Vido Vidandi. Yirikshato Brahma Prana Shraddhi. Vishanti Yadhyati Vitaraga, Yadhyati Brahma Sharena Shranti, Katevadam Sangrahena Prabhakshe. So, after becoming situated in this yoga practice, you know, etc., fixing the light there at the top of the head, and etc., etc., someone becomes established in yoga. Sarva Dwarani Samyak Yoga. Closing all the doors in the senses, Pratyaksha, and fixing light there at the top of the head, when you're situated in yoga. Om Vidye Kaksharam Brahma, Yadharam Manu Nusmran, Mama, Yakriyati Sidyam, Yakitaramam Vidyam. Vibrating the sacred seal of the Om, etc. Going through the whole yoga process, which is quite difficult. In other words, one has to learn how to actually raise the soul, the consciousness of the soul, all the way up to the top of the head, and then thinking of Krishna at the time of death, exit out the Brahma Randa. So one will attain Krishna, the Vaikuntha Bodhi in this way. But then Krishna says, in contrast, so this very difficult yoga process that may take thousands of lifetimes. Ananya Kaya said at the time, Yomam Smarga Nityuta, Hasyaham Subala Parda, Nityuta Siyogina. One who's undeviated in remembering me, I'm easy to obtain. Because it's constant engagement in devotional service. So here he uses the word easy. So finally we get the word easy. Everything else is grasping, fool, unintelligent. So finally, easy. What's easy? Remember Krishna. Without deviation, that's easy. And he uses different words here, which is corresponding to that stage of bhava. Between your ananya, chindya, ananya, chaitya, sadadam, yo, mam, smartini, yasa, tasyaham, subala. So subala, just like sudurlava. Subala part, Nityu Tasya, Yogina, always. So, Moksha Lagukrit, Nityu Tasya, always on the eternal platform, on the transcendental platform, Sudurva, Sulava, easy to obtain. So here it says, Moksha Lagukrit, Krishna is very difficult to obtain, but if one tries to remember Krishna, the one is not trying to get liberated from the material world by a very difficult process, but simply tries to remember Krishna through loving him. As Krishna will explain later in the ninth chapter, just offering him a leaf of flower just to try and please him. Anything just to try and please him. If one tries to please him, then he's saying one will automatically remember him. He's easy to obtain. He'll immediately come into our remembrance. And we obtain him. As soon as Krishna, we remember Krishna, so Krishna is there, so he obtained the goal.
Yet that remembrance, Krishna says, that remembrance is under his control.
No. We're talking about a different thing. Of course, everything is under his control. You can't force Krishna's power.
And in response to our desire, to our love,
we try to love Krishna. Krishna is obliged. Krishna Karshini.
So does that really
Krishna is captured by the love of his devotees. And in reverence, then everyone's remembering something.
Okay. So that's part of the devotees.
Yeah, whatever they have. But remembrance will come according to what we do. If we love Krishna, then we'll remember Krishna. And Krishna will reveal himself. Otherwise, then those flies of material energy, the material nature will reveal itself. Krishna will order the material nature to help us remember something. But if we love Krishna, we try to serve him, then Krishna will reveal himself personally.
Yeah.
No, we have to try to please Krishna. No, we have to try to please Krishna. We can't, but because the devotee is related to Krishna, therefore we try to please Krishna through his devotee. But the devotee, how can you please the devotee without trying to please Krishna?
Because you know
when
the guru
is pleased
Krishna.
No, that's not necessarily true. No. Well, even if you thought like that, then the idea is to please Krishna. But if we try to please the guru without trying to please Krishna, then how can the guru be pleased? The guru is pleased if we're trying to please Krishna. But the idea is to please Krishna, right?
Yeah. Well, because we don't know really how to do it, so then you know that the spirit is working
out how to please Krishna. But, yes. But we please the pure devotee because we know that it's pleasing to Krishna. So it's not that Radha and Krishna are different, or Krishna and his devotees are different. Devotee means the devotee and Krishna. Actually, there's nothing but devotees and Krishna. But under illusion, we think that there's something separate from Krishna. But our goal is Yathātara Mula Nishejanena Sipyanti Tatskanda Bhujopashaka Pranahara Chayatendriana Tatayava Sarvatana Asateja. Just like if you water the root of the tree, then actually the water goes to all the leaves and branches. Or if you supply food to the stomach, then actually the food goes to all the different parts of the body. So similarly, if we try to serve Krishna, then actually all of the entities become satisfied. So Krishna is always the root, but Krishna is also represented by his devotees. We should think the devotee is separate from Krishna. That's called illusion. Acharya mam vijñānam nāna-vārtate kārdi-chit Anyhow, the Krishna says Acharya mam vijñānam, once you know the Acharya, nāna-vārtate kārdi-chit. He's not just an ordinary person subject to death.
No, that's right.
Namartas Vujasudyeta Sarva Deva Mayo Guru. He's the essence of all the different demigods. One who's actually on that platform. In other words, one who's actually on that platform as being representative, as it says, either of Vanyasinanda or personal associate of Srimati Radharani. Now that doesn't mean that just because I take initiation from someone, that automatically they become personal associate of Srimati Radharani or representative of Lodhikananda. But anyone who preaches, anyone who gives me knowledge of devotional service, they must get that from Srimati Radharani. And they must be serving Lodhikananda. So to the degree that they're doing that, to that degree they're a guru. And to the degree that I'm trying to please Krishna through them, because that's what they're teaching. You're a servant of Krishna, try to please Krishna. So I may serve them, because we know Krishna is more pleased when we serve as devotees. But our idea is we want to serve, please Krishna. Because unless Krishna is pleased, no one is pleased. Because Krishna is a reservoir of pleasure. All pleasure comes from Krishna. No one can be pleased unless Krishna is pleased. But if we please Krishna as devotees, then Krishna is even more pleased. So then we please, and if the devotee is pleased, we get the happiness of the devotee, which is really Krishna's happiness, plus Krishna's happiness too. So
So Krishna is always in the center. But Krishna wants his devotee to be more in the center than he is. So that way, we put the devotee in the center. But actually, Krishna and his devotee are both in the center. Yes. Krishna is pleased by love, so he's the acharya of love. So if we want to learn how to love Krishna, we follow her. We may have some love for Krishna, but her love is unlimited. And if we come in contact with her love, then we'll find out what real love is. But love is service. So she knows that Krishna wants to eat, she knows all these things. And again, yeah, she's our leader. But she has only one thought, please Krishna. Yeah. So we may want to love Krishna. We may take Radharani as our principle, but that's also connected with Krishna. Now we've got, so Ananya's Chaitanya Sadatam Yomam Smaradhanitya. So this is what do I understand? Simply I want to love Krishna. Do something for Krishna. It doesn't have to be very complicated. Just that's intelligence. Just do something out of love for Krishna, to please him. Of course, in our society, Prabhupada has demonstrated what real love for Krishna is. It means to spread the Sankirtan movement. To tell people to love Krishna. Krishna is God, we're supposed to love him. The books, Prabhupada's books explain it the best. Therefore, we want to distribute the book. But we also want to understand the essence of the book, to love Krishna. That anyone who's offering their food to Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna, it was all manifestation. So it's not that we just want to distribute the book. We want to have a society where people love Krishna and try to please him. Through farm projects and Gurukul, not that we have to educate children, all kinds of nonsense education. Then when they get older, they can have a choice whether they want to go to hell or back to the spiritual world or not. Now, Gurukul, Varnashram, the chanting of the holy names, deity worship, whatever Prabhupada has given us is a culture to help us fix our minds in loving Krishna. Then Krishna says, well, if you don't like that, then Mamu Peti Punarjanama, Sukhalaya Mashastatam, Matnat Nivanti Mahatmana. Some said being paramamrita. After obtaining me, those who are yogis, they never have to come back to this miserable temporary world. So if you accept that, you can go there. But if you don't, abrahma bhuvana loka punarvarjanarjana mamukheti sukhantaya punarvarjanarjana. From the highest planet down to the lowest, they're all places of misery, wherein repeated birth and death take place. So even if you go to brahma loka, you'll still have to go through birth and death. Sahasra Yuga Pari and Namaharya Brahma, if you do it, just don't quote all the Sanskrit. But all this material, Brahma lives a fantastic amount of time compared to us. 311 trillion, 40 billion years. But even he dies. Again and again, Krishna says, this next one, Avyasa, 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 Sarva. Pralang Vuragame, Padriyagami Pradhyante, Tatraja Vyasa Sangha. Again, at the beginning of Brahma's day, all the Vyantis are manifested, like now we're manifested, then the night comes, we're all annihilated. Again and again, Bhuta Brahman Sahariyam, Bhutva Bhutva Priyate. Again and again, the day's coming. Again and again, the night's coming. We're being created, annihilated. Avyakta Shri Yuja, Tamil Bhutanamangatiyam, Avyakta. For us, that's not to bother on Yoga, Vyakta, Vyakta, Sanatana, Yaksa, Saradesh, Bhutesu, Nasyasu, Vinashu. But there's another world beyond this one where we don't have to become annihilated and created again and again. And that's Krishna's abode. Avyakta Shri Yuja, Tamil Bhutanamangatiyam, They drop in any bar and take Dhamma Paramamma. We can go to a vogue where Krishna lives and live there and simply happily performing activities of devotion, taking prasadam, dancing, chanting, sewing garlands for Krishna, you know, playing with Krishna, like that. So we can do that eternally without worrying about, you know, tomorrow, the fast day. There's no codices there, there's no fast day. We don't have to worry, we're growing old. I'll be able, my teeth falling out, I can't eat prasadam anymore, I can't dance anymore. There's no worries. Purusha saparapada parada bhakti lavi punaniya. And it's only available, we can obtain the Supreme Person, Krishna, only through the process of devotion. So it's not that Bhagavad Gita is giving us a lot of choices. It's not like there's a lot of philosophy, you know, different philosophy. No, simply try to love Krishna and everything's alright. Or else you'll, you know, going to find yourself in difficulty. Then Krishna says there are other people who don't accept it. Yatra Palay, Nadi King, Avatin Chadi Yogina, Kriyati Yanti, Tankala, Yakshmi, Saparatarsh. But they want to obtain something auspicious without becoming Krishna conscious. And they work very hard at it. Agnir, Jagatira, Ashadla, Sanmasa, Uttarayana. They try to work their lives in such a way that they become so perfect in controlling their senses and mind, they can leave their body at all these auspicious times and go to Brahman. But they're not so good. Dumao, Rutri, Chita, Krishna, Shanasa, Dakshinayana, Petra, Chanyamitam, Chaudhira, Yogi, Prasini, Vardhita. They're not so good, so they're not so expert. They leave during the darkness and the smoke, etc. They only reach the moon planet and come back. Shukla Krishna Dhyate Gatana Chastitamate Ekaya Kunarithi Anya Vartate Kuna. So this dark and light and the suspicious and inauspicious, whatever, Krishna says, don't worry about this. There's two ways of leaving in darkness and light. One path you don't come back, one path you do. Then he says, Naiti Sri Diparta Jana Yogi Muya Sri Kastana Yasma Sarvesha Kalesha Yogi Sivarajana. My devotees, they don't worry about these two paths, they just try and think about Krishna out of love. They just try and do a little service to Krishna out of love and devotion. They think of Krishna and they go back to the spiritual world. They don't have to worry about all these different technicalities and all these sacrifices and penance and whatever. Sideshu, Jagneshu, Tvasu, Chaiva, Dhaneshu, Yaspunyapula, Pratamitivya, Ivyekita, Saravigana, Videshva, Yogi Paramount, Stana, Paiti, Divya. Right, is that Divyam the last book? Chadyam. Chadyam. So, those who know Krishna, who accept Krishna consciousness, Vedeshu, Gavneshu, Tapasu, Chaiva, all the sacrifice, charity, penance, study of the Vedas, etc., they don't have to worry about it because they get the result of everything. That is, they get knowledge detachment, they realize they're not their body, they become detached from all kinds of material conceptions of life. At the end, they go back to the spiritual world. So Krishna is advising, just accept the path of devotion. So others, they have different conceptions, and they'll get different results. The devotees, they have conception, they're not a Krishna servant, and when they perform devotional service, and they get the result of going back to the spiritual world, living forever with Krishna. So they don't have to do anything difficult, they just have, whatever they do, they just have to do it out of love for Krishna. Everything is perfect. According to what Krishna wants, of course. Any questions?
Yes. I was wondering why Krishna even addresses that most difficult process of yoga, because it's like the ascending process. So yeah, my information or understanding is that well, he wants to take care of the transcendentalism and tends to perform the difficult process of and just tell him all.
Well, yeah, Krishna could have spoken Bhagavad Gita in two verses. But then who would have listened to him? Yeah, for the Karmis, he said, Karma Yeva Dikaraste, Vapalaya Kadachana, Vakarma Palahito of the world. There,
Mate Sahasukarma.
You have a right to perform the prescribed duty, but you're not entitled to the fruits of the action. Neither consider yourself the cause of the action, nor be attached to not performing the duty. And to the Gyani, he says, Bhamanam Jatana Mande, Gyanamam Bhamanam. You can go through many, many births of practicing this, and eventually you'll realize Krishna is everything. And to the yogi, it's yogi namapikara vesham, madhyatana antaratmana. The yogi is the best of all of them. So there's something there for everyone. But ultimately, Krishna is bringing everyone to devotional service. If you study Bhagavad Gita carefully, whether you're a karmi or a jnani or a yogi, you realize the best thing is devotion. That it's just different steps on the ladder to get to the ultimate goal.
So, you agree with that? In fact, it's a conclusion that all paths lead to the same place. Or in a higher sense, yes. You know, the same detour.
Well, there's some people going to the higher place and some people going to the lower one. Some people going up the ladder and some people going down the ladder.
And but they also consider that place to
everyone follows it, but either they're following it up or down.
Yeah.
Either they're going up or they're falling down.
Yeah.
So like all the paths are actually Krishna's, everything's Krishna's. Which one do you choose?
It's direct, if you do it.
Yeah, it's like
surrender or do your own thing.
Well, no one can do their own thing. Either you surrender to Krishna and he'll guide you, he'll guide one back to the spiritual world. Or you surrender to Maya and she'll guide you back to hell. But everyone is a representative of Krishna. And Krishna is sending us according to what we representatives according to what we desire, what we deserve. Either to help us make progress or to help us get whatever we want to do. Birth, death, old age, and disease, while rest without. Of course, Maya, in terms of illusion, yoga is Charlie Manasa. She tries to trick the practitioner by so many allurements. So she gives us the experience by which we can realize that we're wasting our time here. But for the immature devotee, Maya is trying to trick us to see how serious we are. He doesn't want unserious people to bother Krishna. So we have to be serious. Otherwise, you want a planet, you want some wealth, you want this, and Maya will give it to you. He says, here, you work so nicely in devotional service, you deserve it. Take a rest, take a break. Yeah, whatever you want, Maya is there to serve me. Maya will reciprocate. But if we want only Krishna, then we'll get Krishna. But if we want something else with Krishna, then we won't get Krishna. We'll get something else, we'll get something that looks like Krishna, appears like Krishna. Because like everything is actually Krishna. There's nothing but Krishna and Krishna's energy. But we don't really realize who the real Shama Sundar, what he's like. We won't really enter into the mysteries of his understanding. We'll just remain on the surface. We'll understand, yes, Krishna's a nice person. He's like big Santa Claus. He gives me whatever I want. That much we'll know about Krishna. He's an order supplier. But we won't know if Krishna is the intimate lover of Shrimati Radharani or the friend of the coward boys and child of Mother Yasoda. We won't understand those things. But just think Krishna is a big, you know, water supply. He's the one who has the key to the big cupboard. He knows how to open up the cookie jar. Anything else? What is the tomorrow's Shantipur? How many devotees are going to Shantipur? The only problem with it, you might not be able to get back to class. This is China. This is India. What's that? nothing happens on time here. Even though that, if they say they're coming back before, you know, they have 2 or 3 hours to it. That's the truth. Not everything goes on schedule.
This class is very beneficial for us spiritual program. But that sailor is also very beneficial.
Yeah, sure. Thank you very much for coming. Krishna. But if we, every time we do something, we go, oh, that was Sarkar Kama Yoga, that was Nishkam Kama Yoga, that was, you know, Jnana Mishra Bhakti. Then we'll get into so many labels, but we may forget the whole. Just if I love Krishna, try to please him, everything perfect.
I know all that also, listen, everyone else's.
But it's not bad to know it, but we should just keep in mind that pure love of Krishna is the goal. Prabhu Goswami's advice is we should try to understand what level we're on. We should try to understand what level others are on. So this is very important to know who to be, how to engage in the loving exchanges to the devotees. But getting too much hung up, forgetting about the background behind everything is the soul and the super soul and the loving exchange between them. That even in Sakha Kama Yoga, there's an exchange of appreciation between the devotee and Krishna. So we should try to see that. If we just see it as, you know, some kind of materialistic endeavor and we don't see it as the spiritual part of it, then we're not really seeing it properly. So we try to emphasize more, we take it as more important, the fact that someone trying to do something to please Krishna, and the fact that it has some material motivation behind it. Krishna says they're all dear to me. So if they're dear to Krishna, how can they not be dear to us? Because you know, Krishna just is all softy. Then I really know where the guy's at. No, if they're dear to Krishna, if they're pleasing Krishna, then we appreciate it. Because that's what anyone has been trying to do. Try to please Krishna, that's the goal. And if Krishna's pleased, then what they're doing is perfect for them. Of course, it could be better, but we appreciate that. We don't become fools and think it's perfect, but we take the essence.